master job of surgery, took our heart out, peeled it back layer by layer, and showed us every chamber and what was in it in the last two services, didn't he? Amen. I appreciate that kind of preaching. It's that kind of preaching. Amen. It ain't no use telling you how beautiful heaven is if I don't tell you how to get there. Amen. So we're glad Brother Benny's going to come to you and preach to you now. You just obey the Lord by listening and minding him. Amen. Give him at the altar.
All right. I want to thank Brother Gabbard for the trust that he's had with me over all of these years. And I do mean that he has trusted me with his church, friendship, and I appreciate it. When I first started coming, Brent was small enough I could kick him out of his room. Now he pastors, and I am amazed at how good God has been to us. Anybody out there say amen?
Amen.
Good to us. We started off preaching one of those, what do you call it, homecomings? Homecomings, and got gypped every year. I'd have to drive by those long tables of food. They were all going to go eat. And I was in my car trying to beat a time limit to get back home to preach to my people. So all those homecoming days really didn't advantage me a bit. And then they started getting bigger, and so did I. So I did catch up some. And it's been wonderful to be here and go through this expansion with Bond. A lot of you don't know that. You've only come after God started putting his hand on the meeting. But we've come a long ways together. And I appreciate the Bond people. Jeff and Julie were youngsters then. Stevie, all of those. Johnny No. Oh, how I miss Johnny. I wished he could have been here tonight to see Connie. Wow, that touched my heart. That touched my heart. And Matthew. Man, last year he made me work hard. But this year he made it easy on me. And I loved it. I am for him doing the will of God. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Now I'm allowed a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Brent's got the watch tonight, so I'm not going to preach as long as I did last night, hopefully. But I have come to preach again. I have had a burden on my heart. I don't know whether it's just my age or whether it's the fear of what's going to happen to our people.
Yeah. Yes,
but I have carried a burden for holiness people as far back as I can remember.
Right.
I wasn't holiness when I got saved. I didn't get saved in a holiness church. I am holiness by choice.
Right.
My mom and dad wasn't. I wasn't saved in a holiness church, but I am here because I chose this way. I came to it. It breaks my heart when I see people leaving it. If I'd been born in it, I may have been different, but I wasn't born in it. But the Holy Ghost has led me into holiness, and I'm going to stay there, God being my helper. My race is not much more to be run, and I am happy with my race so far. Amen.
Right.
You're not going to help me, are you? It seemed like this year you wanted me to work. What is this with you? You can make it easy on me. Surrender now. throw up your hands and quit now. And just let it happen. Because God's going to work on you. How many know that? He's going to work on us. Matthew chapter 16. Verses 18 and 19, if you'll all stand together in unity. If one of us stands, all the rest of us are to stand with them. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Just those two verses, and I'm not even going to preach from those scriptures. I'm going to borrow my title out of those scriptures and preach on the last days of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. I want to preach to you tonight on the last days of the church. Father, if ever I needed you, I need you now. The awesome responsibility of preaching in these last days. And I do believe with all of my heart, we're in the last days. You have convinced me of that by your Spirit and by your word. I believe it. Help me, Lord, not to shirk my duty to preach to people who are nearing the conclusion of the matter. Help us, Father, tonight, and we will thank you for it in Jesus' name. The church said,
amen.
You may be seated. What we have come to know as the church, what we have come to accept as the church, whatever your definition of what you expect from a church, if you must have the word holiness on the first of it, then let's include that. If you must use the word liberal, then let's include that. If you want to go into the denominations, then let's include them all. Let's just categorize the church as the church. And let's look at the last days of the church. How many of you understand that the church on this earth was never intended to continue indefinitely? Plans from the beginning of the church was involved with its removal. As sure as it was begun by the Lord, and upon this rock I will build my church. As sure as he began it, he has plans and mentioned it over and over again in the Gospels. And then Paul came with pen and spirit and wrote about it in the epistles. Then John, moved upon by the Holy Ghost, moved it from earth to heaven. We know we are in the church that is not destined to stay here. If you're looking for the long range church, you're not looking right. You should be alarmed. Because we've grown so accustomed to going to church. We get on one another about not going to church. But somehow we miss the conception of what Jesus Christ meant for the church to be. He meant for us to be ready. For he alarmed the first century church to such an extent that they met one another. Maranatha, the Lord cometh. You met a Christian then, they didn't ask you about what you think about politics or who you voted for. They said, the Lord's coming. The beginning of the church was well. The end of the church will be spectacular. But we have grown accustomed to the presence of the church. And that has lulled us into a state of sleep. We slumber. We slumber because we go to church. We would be alarmed if we didn't have a church to go to. But since we've got so many choices, it's sort of comforting. And we're not alarmed. If I don't make midweek service, I'll catch Sunday. In fact, some folks even work overtime knowing they should be in church. Some folks go to the mall hoping they don't get caught by somebody else who missed church. You know how folks love to tell on one another? So we dread meeting folks from church when we're not in church. We have exerted a great influence simply because we love to go to church. And the church has created a great influence on this planet. It has been influenced by this planet. It has been so influenced because the Lord of the church had said, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." A lot of folks said, "Well, that's the end of the world." No, it's not. There is conclusion to the work of the church. There is, setting here, the misconception that you can just wait around and wait around and wait around, but the church is always going to be here. You never think of heaven with God who has all knowledge. How many know God has all knowledge? That God from the beginning of the world wrote a book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And God has pursued the list. Because he knows that the church is not always going to be here. If there is such a book, then there is a last name. If there is such a book in the power of God to demonstrate and convict and compel people to be saved, and the whosoever wills of God have come, then there is also a day when the list will be completed. In the last days of the church, we do not have hundreds getting saved. We're coming down to the last of the list. And now, we're moving towards the last name. And you don't believe that, do you? Because you've already made up your mind that the church is always going to be here. And the Lord is not going to do anything with the church for another generation or so. Can you prove that by the Bible? If you can't prove it by the Bible, then I say you're just running on a hunch. And you're going to pay severely for that hunch. Because that is misleading. There are certain things that show us. The fact of these things being said, that immediately after the church is removed, judgment will begin. Now, God is not going to deal with the church and judgment at the same time. He's not going to deal with the church and Israel at the same time. He's going to remove one player off of the board before he moves the other one to the center of the board and makes the whole world pay attention to Israel. Somebody's got to leave here. Somebody's got to create that move. And we have been warned. I got saved in 1964. That's been a few days ago, hasn't it? First message I ever heard in a Pentecostal church, given by Pentecostal people, said, "Behold, look, I stand at the door. Be ready." That was 1964. That put the go ye in me in 64. I have not stopped looking over my shoulder since 1964. Preach, cry, pray, fast, wait, look, know it's coming. Know it's coming. Try to keep my heart so when I go to sleep at night, I could care less if it comes or not. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Because I believe the last days of the church are upon us. We're right there. When this influence is withdrawn, the final audit of the world will come. God's book is clear about what accompanies this move towards taking the church out in these last days. I'm going to give you a few tonight. You may not shout. Of course, you already have. You may not sing because you already have. You may not even help me preach because you're already wore out. But I'm going to wear you out some more. Here is checkpoint number one. The reestablishment of Israel. I don't care where you move it on the board. It always comes front page. No other thing in history has ever warned the church that your last day journey has begun. Nothing that God has ever done has ever been done to alarm us, wake us, and make us to be ready for His coming than for God to bring Israel and put her back in her homeland as He had promised. Young men, young ladies, you don't plan on staying here if you're in a holiness church. You shouldn't make a lot of plans because you may never live them out. But we are coming to this point that we must notice Israel. We must see her as a major player in our replacement. Amen. The number one thing that God did, He had to do two world wars, a devastating depression, impending nuclear holocaust, worldwide spread of communism, as well as the scientific breakthroughs and industrial revolutions that we've seen. There was a time I was sitting in the office the other day and read Times, and Time had there on their front page about robots. And they said, if you can stand in one place and do your job, a robot can do it. So it's going to be in the future that if you don't have some kind of a trade, you can be replaced. That scare you? If that scares you, you ought to really take a good look at where you are. Because Isaac is back where God intended him to be. Listen to the word of God. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Is it any wonder that the devil is doing everything he can? Every quarrel that you hear about that makes the headlines, quarreling over a piece of land. Am I right? No, you're not helping me. Every time you read the paper and you hear about somebody wanting a piece of Israel, trying to parcel it out, trying to sell it off, trying to come up with a peace plan that will take part of it away. All should remind you that before you were born, this book that you call the Bible had said that Israel will make a peace pact and will make it for 7 years. But before the peace pact can be made, somebody's got to be moved out of the way. Only he that letteth will let. In other words, when the Holy Ghost gets through presenting a faultless church to Jesus Christ, he's going to give the world to Antichrist. We're in the last days of the church. I know you're used to preaching about the last days of the world. I want to talk to you about what you're part of. You're going down to the last finish. We could be just a few months, maybe even weeks or days. Every player is in his place. The enemies of Israel have still threatened to push her into the sea. Russia has come down and got in Iran, stirring up Ishmael against Isaac, stirring it up, hiding behind the scenes, stirring it up, because the devil knows that if he can destroy Israel, he has disqualified the Bible as God's word. He has destroyed your faith. He will have won the world to himself. But what's the focus? They're focused on Jerusalem and the temple area. They're focused. It's all a plan. But before they can get to that, God's going to do something with us. Are you ready? How often a day do you think of the rapture? How often a week do you think of the rapture? How often in a month do you think of the rapture? How often does it even enter your mind? I know you're saying, I'll meet you in the rapture. But, and if you don't like that word rapture, how about catching away? I don't want you to get mad at me and sit on me. It's going to be hard enough the way it is. But whether you say anything or other, it still means departure. Departure. The last days are so important. We are to be getting ready. One little girl said to her mama, because she's always, always talking about going when Jesus comes, going when Jesus comes, going to heaven when Jesus comes. Little girl finally got old enough that she said to her mama, Mama, are you really going? She said, yes, honey, I'm going. She said, then why aren't we packed? And I look at the church and I keep wondering, why aren't you making preparations to leave instead of preparations to stay? You've got more roots down now than you've ever had in your life. And we're in the last days of the church. The Antichrist could well be alive. Can you tell me he's not? He could well be alive. People have looked for him for decades. They thought Mussolini was. They thought Hitler was. They thought the Pope was. They just had all kinds of thoughts, but that meant they were looking for him. They were trying to find somebody that looked like him, somebody talked like him, somebody to act like him. They were looking for him. My grandmother, bless her heart, you know, she was afraid of him. She knew he was coming. I remember pastoring one sweet lady, and she went to Bloomington when Bloomington had an automated checkout line, and she stood there in that line, and it read the thing off. And she went, woo-hoo, mark of the beast. Mark of the beast. All of it says to us, last days. Not last days of the world. Last days of the church. Not the last days of the world. The world's going to be around a long time after the church is gone. Am I right? 1,000 years is a long time. Forever is a real long time. But the church cannot say we will be on this earth forever. We cannot say that we know we have 10 years. We cannot say for certain that we got 5 more years. We cannot say for certain that we got any more time. We know we're down to the running out of time for the church. But yet the church refuses to come to God and say, Lord, we've got to get our house cleaned up. We've got to get ourselves straightened up. Amen. Oh, you're not helping me preach. God's coming after a church, and sometimes he will pick a church out of a church. And just because you belong to a holiness church doesn't mean you're going to be ready. You've got to do this individually. You cannot wait on a revival that includes the whole church. We've got to be revived individually. We've got to make sure that we meet the criteria. Can I tell you the criteria? Can I tell you what it's going to take? Do you want to hear it? Hear it or not? Here it comes. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now you want to live holiness. Try looking more on the inside than you do on the outside. You can't fuss and fight and pack a grudge and have a pure heart. You can't back talk, carry tales, jump on internet and scatter things around. You got to have a pure heart. I'm talking about the last days. Now you're running out of time. How is your heart? I'm talking about the last days of the church. How is your heart? Follow peace with all men and holiness without, which no man shall see the Lord. Now we're on the last days of the church. And here we sit with the Holy Ghost all over this place. And some of you have yet to address your heart. You've been in this altar praying about different things. Well, the most important thing is your heart. If your heart was pure, you wouldn't have to worry about pornography. If your heart was pure, you wouldn't have to worry about a computer. If your heart was pure, you would be worried about God. See, you don't like that kind of preaching because that's a different brand of holiness. You want me to get up here and get all over you about this stuff? But what you really need is to understand you're not going to heaven unless you have a pure heart. I don't care who you are. How big a church you pastor, or how big a membership your church has, or how many people are hiding in your congregation, put the truth out to them and tell them you're not going to heaven unless you have a pure heart. Now, if I understand the book of Revelation, which I don't mean to imply that I do, when you get to the church of Philadelphia, there's a split into two.
Yes, sir.
Philadelphia continues on with Laodicea, but Laodicea splits off of Philadelphia. And you have two churches going on at the same time. Now, doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that explain a lot of stuff? That when you think about Laodiceans, they're rich, they're increased with goods, and they have need of nothing. Right? Blind, miserable, naked, Don't know it. Hello, Laodicea. Are you here? There's a bunch of folks from Philadelphia here too, who love the Lord and serve the Lord and want holiness and want the love of God and want a pure heart. They want to go to heaven. So mingled in this much tonight, there are folks who are destined to go into tribulation like the Laodiceans will. And there's some that's destined to get their heart pure and get ready to leave here, because there is an end to the church. We're sitting at a very strategic time. Israel is back. And no one's going to move her out. Israel's back. She may get deceived, but she will endure. And the Lord will come and rescue her. Am I right? And then checkpoint number two. Look at the international tensions that never subside. Since World War II, there have been no peace. No peace. America went from the Second World War to the Korean War. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
From the Korean War to Vietnam.
Yeah.
And stopped winning.
Yeah.
Stopped winning at Korea.
Right.
Draw the line.
Yeah.
We'll settle. We will diplomatically settle this. And it's never been settled.
Right.
Now North Korea has atomic ability. Working on nuclear ability. She is now trying to get a rocket that she can launch across the sea to the shores of America. She will do it sometime, because our Pentecostal forefathers predicted. They said they seen it. America smoldering in ruins. Which means that somebody got something through the defenses and the Holy Ghost, which was in our forefathers. Let somebody see it so they could tell the church, you're in your last days. International tensions, Africa in an uproar. Am I right? Middle East in an uproar. Can you say amen?
Amen.
China. Oh, Rich. How much of America does she own? How much of her currency does she have? What could she do if she took her currency and called for someone to pay the debt? You talk about chaos in America. But not only there, but then we look at the Arabs. And how much of America do they own? We're trillions of dollars in debt. Nobody worries about it. Government shut down. Nobody's worried about it. Don't affect us, does it? But it does. Because those are the telltale signs that you're in the last days. And before the last days can hit the international community, it's got to come home to us. We are in the last of the last days. Men's hearts. Failing them for fear. Here's checkpoint number three. Listen. The fulfillment of man's mission. In Genesis 1:26-30, God sets forth a fivefold program. Have dominion, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. From this planet, man has wrest electronics, transportation to other globes, genetic marvels, medicine, transplants, nutrients, synthetics, computers, smartphones.
Right.
And it didn't even make us say, whoa. When our forefathers had to wrestle with a rotary phone on a party line. And now we pack our own system, computer and all. And nobody says, whoa, what a sign that is. That knowledge shall increase. It happened right in front of our eyes. We went from rotary phones to a computer in our hands. And nobody said, Jesus is coming.
Come on, preacher. Come on now.
Yeah. You're not helping me preach, are you? We have lived in this part, and I remember the shocking thought that when that, what was his name, Dr. Bernard, that took the first heart out and put an artificial heart in. Now they don't do that. They let a robot do it. We didn't say when that happened in our day. That it's impossible. I remember the old timer saying, I don't want nobody messing my heart. I don't want somebody else's heart. I don't want their sins in my life. The only thing disturbed them was they didn't want the thought of somebody's dirty heart in them. Oh, you're not helping me preach. When we already said, my, that's a sign the Lord's coming. We just sort of walked right on down our merry way and never paid attention to what was the assignment of the church. The assignment of the church was to get the gospel to every nation. The assignment of the church was to preach this gospel to every creature. The assignment of the church was, as soon as you get this gospel to every nation, the end will come. Now, Brother Darrell does a lot of traveling and mission work. And Brother Summers back there is another great-hearted missionary. And Brother Snow is a missionary. And they can tell you that there's a lot of people emphasizing in South America that there's hardly any place in South America doesn't have a gospel preached to it. But then you can go to Europe. It's gospel hardened. You can go to America. We're gospel hardened. Amen. Go to China. Brother Burkett said years ago he was getting Bibles into China. To believers behind the iron curtain. Am I right? Where is the last frontier in missions? Hasn't it been got to? Hasn't this gospel went? And while we sit here, coming through this building is airwaves going across the world. And people are sitting over there with little radios tuned on, hearing gospel. Am I right? You're not helping me preach, but that doesn't mean I'm not right. So while we're here, the gospel is going right through this building, right across the globe, right across to another continent. Am I right? And you don't say, ooh, that was another wake-up call. These are the last days of the church. We sit in our little stupefied ways, and we don't want to be woke up. Preacher, I'm not going to help you preach something like that. If I really believed that, I'd have to get up and do something. Oh, yeah, right? If I really believed that, I'd want God to give a revival right now. Look at number four, it's lawlessness. Iniquity shall abound. Love of many shall wax cold. Now, the iniquity abounding outside, the love of many going cold in the church. Outside, iniquity's abounding. Inside, the temperature's dropping. If you go to sleep, I put the best in the world sleep. But don't expect me to wake you up. Just sleep on. That's what Jesus told the disciples. Sleep on. Then when you wake up, it's going to be too late. Let me tell you something. Can I? With your permission? Do I have your permission? It's affecting us. All of this technical knowledge that we've got has affected us. It's affecting us. We're more carnal and cold than we've ever been. When was the last time you pushed back your plate for any serious amount of fasting for a revival? That's the preacher's job. No, it's anybody's job who got their eyes open in the last days and know we're running out of time. Why should the preacher do it when your family is probably just as dead as you are? Your whole family could go into tribulation because of you. Dad, you could lead your whole family into destruction simply because we got a destiny and we're going to fulfill it whether you do it or not. It's going to be fulfilled. The Lord is not going to fail us, for He promised He's coming after us. What time is it? Give me a read. 30 minutes. All right. I've got to hurry. 30 minutes. Listen, this revival that Brother Gabbert talks about, it's not going to materialize just because he preaches it. You're some of you. Let me tell you how our forefathers preached. Anybody here remember Buster Wilson? Anybody remember Buster? Was one? See, there's a bunch of folks. Let me tell you how Brother Buster Wilson would have preached to you in this camp meeting if he felt the same burden I've got. I walked into his church on a midweek service. He was preaching to his own people. And these are the words that Brother Buster Wilson said to his own people. He said, "Bless God, saints." He said, "Some of you are so numb, if I gave you a box of matches, your fingers are so froze you couldn't strike it." He said, "Come on, saints." He said, "Some of you don't understand that right before you freeze to death, you feel warm." And the temperature of love has dropped to an all-time low. We compete with one another. We try to outdo one another. Not for the best of the church, but for the best of us. We promote ourselves. I, what? You can't change anything without Him, and He's not going to do anything until He changes you. We've got to get a revival where love comes back up till it is fervent. We've got to have a love in our heart that is fervent. Fervent love is powerful. Fervent love will die for a cause. Fervent love will give your all. Fervent love will carry a burden. Fervent love will plead with God for a revival. Iniquities abounding, yes. We have more now than we've ever had. Look at it. It's right in front of you. Not only does the Bible say evil men shall wax worse and worse, but it throws in seducers, peddlers. Television preachers sometimes are just peddlers. They peddle their own gospel to pad their own hip pocket. One television preacher said, I don't know how many years he did say, but he said it's been a number of years, 9 I think. He said, and I have never mentioned sin. Now can you imagine a pastor in a pulpit with any love in his heart looking over a congregation that's going to go to hell if they don't know what sin is? Love has gone out of the preacher's heart. Love has gone out of the deacon's heart. Love has gone out of the pew. Now we sit here wanting a revival, needing a revival, and we keep coming to altars that don't produce a revival because we keep praying about what and when and where and how God's going to help us, when what we really need to do is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and confess to Him we're colder than we've ever been in our life. And the reason we don't have revival is because we don't have the heart or the stomach for it. Yeah, I know who I'm preaching to. You don't have the heart for it. You don't have the stomach for it. Because stomach means you've got to be able to endure pain. And the heart means that you've got to get up at night. Got to walk the floor. Got to carry a burden. Got to give yourself to something. In fact, the Bible said if you're really going to get serious, husbands, tell your wife that you're not going to be with her for a while and that you're going to be doing something else. Excuse me, I don't mean to ignore you, honey, but I got a burden on my heart and I can't be messing with you and keeping my burden. I told you didn't have the heart for it nor the stomach for it. You take your woman away from you and you take your food away from you, most of you guys wilt. You're welcome. You're quite welcome. Thank you for nodding your head. You don't have the stomach for it. People are going to go to hell. We got the stomach for that. The Bible said, reaching in the fire, pulling them right out of the fire. That takes some guts, doesn't it? Ain't no cold-hearted person going to do that. You got to love somebody to do that. Love somebody because you're going to get burnt yourself. You're going to suffer some scars yourself. You're going to feel some pain yourself. In order to save somebody, you've got to get ready to sacrifice. Or you're not helping me. Anybody out there going to shout amen?
Amen.
Now, iniquity is abounding all around us. We all see it. More nudity than we've ever had. More nudity in novels. More nudity on television. More nudity in movies than we've ever had. Words. Four-letter words. Am I right? In literature. Four-letter words on television. Four-letter words in the movies. Ah, it's just the way things have come. That's just the way it is. No, no, it's not. It's a sign. Read it. Iniquity is abounding. But at the same time, take and put your finger on your own pulse and read it. You're cold and you're indifferent and you don't care whether we have revival or not. I said it. Look at me. I said it. These men are not guilty of saying it. I said it. Hate somebody, hate me. Hate me till you get mad. At least you'll warm up. Hate me till you can't stand me. At least you'll warm up. Hate me till you don't want to hear me preach. But at least you'll get heated up. There'll be some change in you. But I'm telling you, I'm not changing my mind until the church repents and gets back in love with Jesus Christ. We'll not have enough heat to have revival. Don't blame the world. It's not the world. We've had revival. We've had revival in worse conditions. Not the world that's keeping us from revival. Iniquity outside the church is not the cause. Oh God. It's the horrid way that we live. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Checkpoint number 5. Breakdown of marriage. Oh, I don't even have to preach that. We walk in and out of marriage. It just means they were giving, marrying and giving in marriage just means they was running in and out of it. Not even taking it serious. Trying it out.
Yeah.
Don't like it? You're out of here.
Yeah, right.
Number 2, please. You're next. Yeah. We pay hard money. The world does.
Yes,
to support such people.
Right.
Yes, but then we come to that horrid thought of the church has now come up to where it's 30% of us that fail in marriage. The barriers, the foundation, man with man, applying for a license, man. But then Romans 1 told us about the last days. Am I right? You ever read Romans 1? You ought to read it. Because it's speaking about what's going to happen in the last days. And God said, this is the way I'm going to treat them. I'm going to give them what they want. They hate me, I'll leave them alone. I'll send them a reprobate spirit. They won't be able to find their way out of the dark. I'll give them up to uncleanness. They'll think that they're right and they'll think that I approved of it. And the world is staggering out there in blindness, and the only light there is in a dark world is a church, and God's about to shut the light out. You're the light of the world. You're the city set on a hill that cannot be hid. You are the salt of the earth. Am I right? But God's about ready to shut the light out. Where's the light going to go? When God shuts the doors of the church. Where's the light going to go? Out. That means no more sinners are accepted into the church. Tonight the doors of the church are open. Tomorrow they may be shut for eternity. Tonight the doors of the church stand open. Young and old, come quickly. Come into the church. The lights are about to be turned out. And the world is going to go into utter darkness. Eating and drinking. No home life. Because we're always busy doing something else. Checkpoint number 6, and I'm hurrying. Russia, the special enemy of God. Thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, and thou shalt come up against my people Israel. That was made almost 3,000 years ago, that appointment with this Russia. God made an appointment, said, you will do it. You don't have anything about it. I'm going to put a hook in your jaw. I'm going to draw you right where I want you, and then I'm going to destroy you. Do we see it today? Do you see it? It's a meddler with his atheism. Slow and steady, the noose is being drawn. They poisoned the nations against Israel. Do you know that the only one real ally that Israel has is America? And that our president's having second thoughts? Oh, you're not helping me. The last days of the church. Can you trust the White House? Well, we know that the Bible said if a nation forsakes Israel, God will forsake them. Am I right? Then we got to contend with the kings of the east. Then we get down to the last one. Number 7. The world church. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the word of God shall be fulfilled. You better ponder that passage. The motivation of the world church is to come into one. Come back to the mama church. And if you read the book Revelation, you'll find that woman riding the back of the beast. She is going to pull every string, because that is money. We care more for money than we do souls. The world church is after money, more money. $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $6 million, $1 million a day is nothing, because they have a pattern, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And the Bible gives explicit situation ethics right there. Get away from them. Get away from them. Am I right, men? Get away from them. Don't feel sorry for them. Don't buy their pamphlets. Get away from them. Get your people away from them. Tell them the truth about the matter. The church is going out of here. But that church on the back of the beast is going into tribulation to be destroyed. One church will be redeemed, the other will be destroyed. Your choice. Your family. Great tribulation, 7 years. Will bring in, usher in Israel back to the limelight. In 7 years, God will have settled this discrimination against Israel. He will take her from the bottom to the top. He will take her from a few and make her the ruler of many. God will settle it in 7 years, and Israel will come out to reign with Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The last days, this church is going to be removed. The lights are flickering now. This is the last. And Isaac, his father, talking to Esau, said, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be in the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by the sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." Genesis 27, 39 and 40. Right there. Fatness of the earth. Speaks of wealth.
Right.
Who has the wealth? In the Middle East.
Yes, sir.
Right. Esau.
Yeah, right.
And his descendants.
Yeah, right.
That's number one of the prophecies that is fulfilled. Second one is, "By thy sword shalt thou live." Who's the most militant people that you've ever found?
Yeah,
Muslim.
Yeah, right.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Prophecy number two, fulfilled. "Thou shalt have dominion." Speaks of the descendants of Esau gaining greater influence in world politics than the descendants of Jacob, who now controls and holds the sway because they have the spigot of oil they can turn off or on or raise. That's prophecy number three. "Then thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." Jacob no longer tells Esau what to do. And the Arab nations are now calling the shots, saying, "We will push you into the sea. We will destroy you." The yoke has been broken. Jake, do you understand that Isaac was saying to his son, "This is going to come to pass, and we have lived to see it"? And that prophecy comes from the book of Genesis. How accurate is God's word? Let me tell you what Jesus thinks about it. "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Every jot and every tittle and every T will be crossed. God's word will not fail. John 16 and 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. This is the way it should be. Now listen, Jesus is talking to his disciples about building this church. And this is what he's saying to them that they can expect of his help. The Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. I wonder why it's so quiet. I wonder why the Holy Ghost hasn't showed us anything for a while. I wonder why he's not voiced his opinion to us. Because our heart is so hardened. Yeah, we're not even listening. I've come to Bond for years. I've heard the Holy Ghost speak. How much has it changed us? And the last days of the church are on us. And the Holy Ghost is supposed to be showing us things to come. Now you say, no, Brother Benny, I don't believe that. Okay, all right, that's fine. Well, let me tell you about some of the saints I know. This is not years ago. This happened in Dryden Road just about some months ago, maybe 3 months ago. This lady of our church, Sister Heal, took sick. They told her she had cancer and told her that she was going to have to take treatments. And she said, nope, I'm not doing that. I'm not taking treatments. She said, I'm not doing it. It'll make me sick. And I'm not doing it. Me and my wife went to pray for her, and her daughter was there. Am I right, Janie? Me and you and her daughter. I laid hands on my saint and prayed for her. The Holy Ghost come on her so mightily, she started just moving her hands. It knocked my hand clear off of her head. Just went into one of those Holy Ghost breakdowns right there in that bed, just a shaking all over. Speaking in tongues. When she got through, she said, Jesus told me he's coming to get me. And you know what happened? Within 2 weeks or less, she's gone. This is what her daughter said. She said, I took mom outside and we sat and talked. We sat and talked next to the pond. Said, me and her, wasn't a thing wrong with her. Said, we just talked. So I took her in and we fed her supper. She eat, nothing wrong. She said, I'm tired, I want to go to bed. That night, we got a call. Somewhere while the world slept, Jesus come down to keep his word. Without one treatment, she got cured. Because God keeps his word. Do you hear me? Now, did the Holy Ghost tell her something that was to come? Did the Holy Ghost tell one member of this church that something was coming? Did he not do it? She testified that the Lord said, I'm coming to get you. It must have been the Holy Ghost because he was all over her. The Holy Ghost said, the Lord's coming to get you. She said, the Lord's coming to get me. You know what happened? The Lord come and got her. Why won't the Holy Ghost speak to the body of Christ? Why won't he just give us a little hint? Could it be that 1964 was the first of many hints that I've heard? Behold, I stand at the door. I'm coming soon. Be ye ready, for in the hour that you thinketh not, the Son of Man cometh. I've read it in the Bible. I've heard the Holy Ghost speak it, and I'm convinced we're running out of time. We're in the last days, and if we don't wake up, we're not going to go up. Well, that's not all. I got to read you some more, and then I'm done. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Those words cannot fail. The reason that the Holy Ghost is not speaking, two things. We've either joined the apostates, or we have cheated on our beloved. For we are engaged to one. You can't play a harlot and have the Holy Ghost on your side. You can't sell your love to just anybody and have the Holy Ghost talk to you about his thing. Because in the Old Testament, when Abraham wanted to get a bride for his son, he sent an ambassador with gifts. Am I right? And when she passed the qualification test, that man told her everything about Isaac that he knew and said, all this belongs to Isaac and all this that Abraham has belongs to Isaac. He said, and when she got within reach of Isaac, she said, who's that? She said, he said, that's my master. And she lit off of the camel. Didn't she do it? If the camels are coming, buddy, you had better get ready. Are you ready? Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. What are you going to do as soon as you get out of church? What are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You want me to tell you what you're going to do? You're going to put this message down on your ratings. And that's all that's going to happen to you. You're going to put it down on the ratings. Brother Benny, you flopped tonight. I didn't enjoy that at all. Or Brother Benny, you really preach good, and that's all it's going to be. Because you're going to head over to concessions. You're going to eat and drink and get that spirit right back on you. They shall eat and they shall drink. The Lord. The responsibility has been shifted now to you, my brother. You better obey the Lord or blood will be all over your hands. I need to pray in church right now. Obey the Lord. I'd rather have him to witness through somebody else than to bear a witness to myself. Somebody else. Obey God.
Church.
Sinner, backslider, cold and indifferent, you are on dangerous ground. You're putting more value on your cigarettes and your booze, your illegitimate affairs. And you're on dangerous ground. The lights are going to go out. The trumpet will sound, but when it does, the lights go out. The shout shall be heard, but when it does, the lights go out. The Lord shall appear to them that are ready, and the lights are going to go out. And you will be under the power of the Prince of Darkness. And he hates Christians. You will pay for your soul with your own blood. You think I'm not serious? Take another thought. When the lights go out, you'll be under the very influence of the devil himself, and he hates religion. And he hates Christians. And he will kill you if you don't join him, if you oppose him, you will die. Babies will die. Children will die. Moms will die. Dads will die. If you take the mark of the beast, you're going to hell and spend eternity in the lake of fire. You think you better join the church? I think you better be born again. You'd better come back and wash your garments tonight. You'd better get up and come tonight now and wash your garments in the blood of the Lamb and be ready. You'd better come and ask God to check your heart and check you to see if there's any unclean thing in you. You'd better stand now and you better come. It's not an option. The lights are going to go out and you are going to be lost. Stand with me. I know, with that cold and lukewarmness, the warning was, I would that you were either cold or hot. Hot means that you're back where you should be. Cold means that you're in church and you just can't tell. Lukewarm is disgusting because you never can be convicted of anything. A lady told me one time, wearing overalls, Brother Danny, she said, it don't convict me. I said, the Bible's already convicted you. God don't have to convict you. The Bible's already convicted you. It don't convict me. Can you say little words and not be convicted? Can you act smutty and not be convicted? Can you think of awful things and not be convicted? Then you are among those who are deceived and are going to die lost. Thinking you're all right, you're going to die lost. You better come now. You better come now. You better be on your way. Don't let that coldness keep you in the pew. You see where we're at? Look at this. Brother Gabbard's going to tell you again. Brother Gabbard's going to tell you again. I feel like there's going to be a revival given us before the Lord comes. And I'm telling you, you can't have revival till your heart gets on fire for God individually. You satisfied where you are? Raise your hand if you're satisfied where you are. If nobody's going to raise their hand that you're satisfied where you are, then why don't you get up here? Quit playing church. This is serious. We're about to watch the lights go out on us and our generation.